Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Majorel Group Analysts and Investor Call, Half Year 2023 Results. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Michelle Negen.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining the Majorel Analyst and Investor Call following this morning's publications of our reviewed H1 2023 results. I'm here together with the team and with Thomas and Otman. We'll talk you through the results in a moment, after which there is time for some Q&A. The presentation can be found on the website together with the half-year interim report under the publications, and I kindly point out the disclaimer on slide 2. In terms of agenda, we will start with an introduction by Thomas, followed by the half-year results and the full-year outlook by Otman. After that, we are very happy to answer your questions. So without further ado, I would like to hand over to Thomas.
Thank you, Michelle, and a warm welcome to everyone also from my side. The first half of 2023 was an eventful period for Majorel, where we managed to continue our successful journey. And before we deep dive into the presentation, a few initial remarks. First, we are really proud that despite a continuing challenging and uncertain environment, we have been able to deliver a good performance in H1 2023. In particular, the 11% like-for-like growth in EASA, you remember this is our Europe, Africa and South America segment, and the solid growth of net revenue of 16% in CEA, so in China and East Asia, are really a testament of our strong position. This is also reflected in our H1 operating EBITDA, in our strong cash flow and cash position at the end of 23. Really, a big thank you to all our clients for their trust and for all our team members around the world for their passion and commitment in these times of change. We do not take this for granted. Second, with regard to the big event in the last month, the public cash and exchange offer for all Majorel shares by Teleperformance. As you all have seen the recent public announcements by TP and us, you know that the process is well on track. We are happy with it, and as you have also read, the boards of Majorel supported the offer again in our latest position statement and recommended to its shareholders to accept the offer and tender their shares. Of course, there's a certain, how can I say, impatience given the process and time required, but this is life and we manage this step by step. Third, Majorel is in a strong position, but we are, however, not immune to the challenging environment, which we expect to continue in the second half of the year. Later, Otman will explain how the different elements impact our business outlook. But as you have read in our publications today, and not surprisingly, we see some challenges for the top line, but we expect also a continued good performance on the operating EBITDA side. We are also really looking forward in Q4 to the closing of the tender offer process with TP, of course, subject to all necessary approvals and clearances. Of course, whilst the tender process is ongoing, Majorel is a standalone company, and we are all very happy to report on our performance in the first half of 23. Let's get into it. I suppose many of you have seen our introduction pages before, so I'll be very brief. The core of Majorel is unchanged. Our constant drive every day is to be client-centric in everything we do. This means building meaningful, long-term, strong relationship with our clients around the world, which is the foundation of everything we do. Our mission is, of course, also unchanged. We are a tech-enabled global BPO CX company. That means that we have the privilege to take care of the most valuable assets of our clients, their relationships with their customers. And in order to achieve this goal, we combine three things, as you know, human talent with processes, meaning deep domain expertise across many verticals, and of course, technology that is closely embedded in our business and augments our human talents. Our shared values are unchanged. Creativity, excellence, and respect really binds us together across our global footprint, and we make a difference by offering our clients and their customers reliability and agility in this constantly changing world. You've seen the next page already a couple of times. It's all about building a truly global platform east to west. Noteworthy maybe today is the change in working from home. Whereas we had been at 42% of team members working from home at the end of December, this number is now being reduced to 38, and of course includes also colleagues adopting a hybrid working model. Our strategic map is also unchanged. We continue to build businesses across the entire CX services spectrum, covering from left to right customer interaction services, business process services, and tech and expert services, which of course include also our new platform, Majorel Infinity. So what are the highlights over the first month of 2023? Group revenue and net revenue grew by 8% year over year, delivering really a solid top line performance. Unfortunately, FX impact for group revenue was minus 1%, in particular given the strong euro vis-a-vis certain currencies. Like-for-like, net revenue growth was plus 10%, and as you can see in our definition of like-for-like, this does not include the FX effect. We were also able to demonstrate growth across all business segments, in particular in the EASA, so Europe, Africa, South America, and China, East Asia. Furthermore, we delivered robust profitability in the first half of 23 and in line with our operating EBITDA guidance. Otman will guide you through these numbers later in more detail. We also continued our expansion with existing and new clients with net revenue retention of 111% and 30 new logos in the first half of 23, the same number of new logos that we had a year ago. On April 26th, no, it's almost 4 months ago, Teleperformance announced the proposed acquisition of Majorel after signing a tender offer agreement with our majority shareholders, Bertelsmann and Saham. And now on August 11th, a few weeks ago, TPG announced the launch of the tender offer, and on the same day, Majorel published its position statement supporting the offer. And lastly, on August 17, so just a week ago, we launched Majorel Infinity, our new platform brand within our tech and expert services, focusing on Asia Pacific, on which we'll elaborate more in a minute. Let's go to the next page, strategic KPIs. To be honest, no big news here. The development of our strategic KPIs has been really in line with our midterm targets. Global internet representing 52%, so pretty much stable compared to 22. Content services, slight growth to 24%. Telco reduced to 8% of net revenue, and tech and expert services stable at 9%. Also, our offshore share is relatively stable, given two trends. On the one hand, a push for more offshore, in particular in our English-speaking clients, whilst on the other hand, we really have a strong development in some onshore countries, in particular in Europe, namely France. Next page, as we talked about, on August 11, we published our position statement recommending to our shareholders to accept the offer and to tender their shares. And as you have seen the indicated timelines in the different publication, which include an envisioned deadline for the tendering of the shares on October 20th, the expected closing in Q4, of course, subject to these different antitrust clearances. I think it's really noteworthy to mention that TP, as announced 2 weeks ago, has already obtained antitrust clearances in 3 of the 8 respective jurisdictions, and we're really there on a good track that we're very much looking forward to proceed further. And that, as I said, last week we launched Majorel Infinity. What is Majorel Infinity? It is a platform for digital consumer engagement services. So everything around consumer data and insight, technology, digital marketing strategy and services in the APAC region. In comparison, we launched Majorel X. This focuses more on CX transformation services in the areas of consulting, technology, and design, focused on the EMEA and Americas. And Majorel Infinity really builds on our year-long expertise in this area. We are servicing more than 70 clients in that region with over 600 specialists. And as we have got more demand across the region, we launched this blended platform to accelerate our growth ambition in that interesting segment. So this is the first part. With this, I hand over to Otman to give us some more details on our financial numbers. Over to you, Otman.
Thank you very much, Thomas, and good afternoon, everybody. I'm happy to be here today and present to you the H1 2023 results, starting with the financial highlights. As Thomas said, we are proud to have been able to deliver solid growth, robust profitability in line with our previously stated guidance, and ended the first half of 2023 with a strong cash position. On slide 15, first of all, the double-digit growth that we've seen as outlined by Thomas, group revenue of €1,068 million, up €76 million year over year, which is 8%. Our net revenue was €1,058 million, also up by 8% year over year. Like for like, net revenue growth was 10%, as mentioned by Thomas. The contribution of the acquisitions partially offsetting the ending of the COVID-19 business as planned. Our growth was mainly driven by existing clients with net revenue retention of 111%. Operating EBITDA was stable at €177 million, resulting in an operating EBITDA margin of 16.7% in line with our previous guidance. Group profit reached €80 million, 7.6% of our net revenue, resulting in earnings per share of 0.8 versus 1.01 in H1 2022. A particular highlight was our strong balance sheet, and I'm happy to confirm that we closed the first half with a very strong cash position, with free cash flow of €92 million, leading to a cash conversion rate of 52%. The cash from operating activities was €116 million. Our very positive net cash position of €154 million has improved year over year, as we were at €105 million at the end of 2022. And we further reduced our economic debt to €24 million versus €67 million at the end of 2022. On slide 16, if we look in more detail at our top line growth, we see the growth from €992 million in H1 2022 to €1,068 million in H1 2023, which is an 8% growth of our revenue. And our net revenue grew from €976 million to €1,058 million. And as you might notice, the gap between net revenue and revenue has further decreased. As we said, it would now be the pass-through revenues have decreased and COVID-19 business has ended. On slide 17, we can see that the adjusted for the impact of FX, group revenue growth in H1 2023 was plus 9% year on year, with an FX impact on group revenue of minus 1% compared to a positive effect we had in H1 2022 of plus 2%, mainly driven by the Egyptian pound, the Chinese yuan, and the Turkish lira. On slide 18, regarding the like-for-like growth that we always communicate on, there has been a €100 million incremental revenue increase which translates to 10% like-for-like net revenue growth. And as you can see, the contribution of Alembo, Findasense, and IST with an incremental 19 million euro partially offset the decline of 37 million euro as a result of the ending of our COVID-19 related business. On slide 19, and as Thomas said, we're very pleased that each of our business segments has contributed to our growth in H1, with EASA growing 9% year over year, contributing 62 million euro to net revenue, GEMS growing 6% year over year, with an incremental contribution of 12 million euro, and SEA contributing double-digit growth of plus 16%, or 8 million euro. Let's now deep dive on the different segments. On slide 20, EASA demonstrated continued growth despite the ending of the COVID-19 business, which has in the past been fully recognized in EASA. Taking into account the contribution of the M&As, being Alembo, Findasense, and IST, which was 19 million euro in the first half of 2023, adjusting for this, the like-for-like net revenue growth is 11%. From an operating EBITDA perspective, EASA generated 117 million euro in H1 2023, to be compared to 120 million euro in H1 2022. And there we saw a decline of our margins from 17.4 to 15.3%, also as expected. Looking now at GEMS on slide 21, we see a 6% growth year over year, which is purely like for like, as we didn't have any COVID-19 business in GEMS and no M&A contribution. The key drivers, as usual in this segment for the growth, are the increase of net revenue with global internet players, particularly in the US, the Philippines, Malaysia, and Kenya. However, in the first half of 2023, we saw a slowdown in the growth, in particular with our global internet clients compared to the other segments and to the prior year. The overall growth in H1 2022 was plus 35%. Furthermore, we see a weakness in demand in the other verticals, as well as a negative impact from FX. But we're happy to see that the operating EBITDA margin in GEMS remains stable at 22.2%, with an operating EBITDA of 52 million euro, plus 6% year over year from 49 million euro in H1 2022. Now on the third segment, SEA, China and East Asia, we're pleased with the recovery of the performance in SEA. If you remember, we had some severe impacts from COVID lockdowns last year. And SEA in H1 2023 contributed 6% of group revenue, also in line with management expectation. Net revenue growth of plus 16% has been driven by Japan and South Korea, as well as digital clients in China. From an operating EBITDA perspective, SEA doubled its contribution to the group to 8 million euro in H1 2023 from 4 million euro in H1 2022, resulting in an operating EBITDA margin of 14% compared to 7.6% in H1 2022. Now, if we look at the bridge of operating EBITDA on slide 23, we see that GEMS and SEA contributed positively to the development of operating EBITDA. And overall, operating EBITDA developed in line with prior guidance. Now, if we look at our EBIT and group profit on slide 24, there you see that EBIT went slightly down to 118 million euro in H1 2023 and represented 11.1% of net revenue. Our group profit was 80 million euro in H1 2023, 7.6% of our net revenue. Now on our cash flow position, so as I mentioned, we had a very strong cash flow in this first half, and our free cash flow reached 92 million euro compared to 36 million euro at H1 2022, where we indeed had some specific impacts on from IPO-related costs. The cash conversion rate was at 52%, and CapEx declined from 38 million euro last year to 28 million euro in the first half of this year. Our financial profile, as you can see on slide 26, is therefore very strong, and we maintained our level of cash and cash equivalent, reaching 278 million euro at the end of H1 23, and had a strong net cash position of 154 million euro, leading to an economic debt of 24 million euro at the end of H1 2023, compared to 67 million euro at the end of 22, thus further improving our already low leverage. Now, slide 27 is the recap of the overall P&L, where you can see the different developments of each of these KPIs. Let's now move to the full year outlook for 2023. First of all, on slide 29, net revenue shows the trajectory of our, slide 29 shows the trajectory of our net revenue and the development we've had since 2019. Our outlook is based on MAIDRE's current assessment on the development of the business in 2023 and the general CX market, combined with economic and labor market conditions in the company's global geographic footprint. For the second half of 2023, we continue to expect shifting client needs, softness in demand, absence of COVID-19-related business, and continued inflation, especially wage inflation, due to the challenging and more volatile environment. Moreover, ongoing macroeconomic uncertainties serve to highlight the importance of ongoing vigilance. We maintain our net revenue guidance for 2023 of 2,150 to 2,250 million euro, and excluding COVID-19 related business in 2022, this results in net revenue growth of plus 6% to plus 11%, as already stated. Given the prevailing challenging conditions, we don't expect to be in the upper half of this range, while high volatility, including FX, remains. Now let's move to the guidance on operating EBITDA on slide 30. Here again, you see the development in the past years, and with 177 million euro of operating EBITDA achieved in the first half of 23, we show a pretty strong start of the year, representing a margin of 16.7%, in line with guidance. This demonstrates strong margin performance despite the challenging environment. For operating EBITDA margin, the guidance is unchanged, and we expect for the full year 2023 to end between 16.5% and 17%, also factoring in the aforementioned effects and as communicated before. We will continue to execute our proven strategy driven by the expertise and commitment of our people and built on the trust and loyalty of our long-term clients. To summarize, we are really proud that despite the continuing challenging and uncertain macroeconomic environment, we have been able to deliver a good performance with solid top-line growth in H1 23, with all of major business segments contributing to this result. As mentioned by Thomas, the process with Teleperformance is well on track, with closing expected in Q4 2023, subject to antitrust clearances, and we are looking forward to the closing of the transaction with Teleperformance when some of the uncertainties will cease to exist. With that, Michel, I hand over back to you.
Thank you very much, Otman, and thank you, Thomas, for your presentation. I propose to the Q&A. Operator, can you please assist us?
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 followed by the star key on your telephone keypad. If you wish to cancel your question, press 9 followed by the star key again. Please press 9 star now to state your question. Okay, the first question comes from Wolfgang Specht, Berenberg.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. Congrats to the solid print. One remaining question from my side would be, you delivered or over-delivered on my free cash flow expectations, and one main driver was an optimization of your working capital. Can you give us an idea if, let's say, we can expect some more? Is there still headroom for an improvement, or is already most of your working capital now optimized?
Well, the performance we had in the first half with this 52% cash conversion rate is definitely above the expectations that we had. So we are very happy with the performance. And indeed, at the end of last year, I commented on the fact that we've seen some change in behavior of some customers on the payment delays, and we've seen some increased working capital across the board, especially in China, where we had some impacts from the COVID lockdowns. And we're happy that in this first half, we put things back under control, and that now we're expecting to sustain this level of working capital and this level of cash performance.
Okay, thanks a lot. And maybe a follow-on. On your EASA segment, where we see some pressure on EBITDA, given that the COVID business is ceasing, is there any chance that a little COVID business could come back with, let's say, new vaccination campaigns somewhere across the world, or is this, let's say, a done deal for you?
We don't expect any COVID business this year, Wolfgang. I hope it is not necessary that this campaign that we've seen in the last years again necessary for society, but we don't see any COVID business fast.
Okay, but also no lockdowns in China mainland or other world regions that could slow growth?
Not as of today. I mean, as you have seen from the numbers that Otman also shown us, there is a good recovery in China. Of course, there the economic outlook, we have to see this developed in the next month. We don't expect any widespread lockdowns.
Okay, thanks a lot. Helpful.
Next question comes from Oscar Valmas, JP Morgan.
Yes, good afternoon, Thomas and Altman. Two questions from my side. The first one on GEMS. So you've had two very strong years of double-digit growth in 2021 and 2022, but that stepped down this first half. I think growth is probably negative like-for-like in Q2. Could you just comment on where you're seeing the weakness? Is it in trust and safety? Is it in traditional CX? So that's kind of the first question on GEMS. Do you see that slowdown continuing in which end markets? And then the second question is, we've talked about this a lot recently. It didn't come up in your presentation that much today, but on AI adoption, could you just give us an overview of the conversations you're having with customers. Are you seeing volumes decline, and is that driven by AI, kind of Gen AI already, or is this, kind of, what are customers saying around Gen AI? Thank you.
Thanks, Oscar. Maybe we start with your first question first with Otman, and then I cover the second one.
Sure. So, hi, Oscar. So, as you know, GEMS is more exposed with this global English to the U.S. market and to U.S. Customers, and of course to the general drop that we see of the demand coming from the U.S. customers. So for sure, when you compare to the growth that we see in EASA and SEA, definitely there's a specific impact on GEMS, and we've seen in some geographies, higher impacts of this drop in volumes. It's also important to mention that the overall negative impact of FX that we've seen a higher negative impact in GEMS. and there this is also generating some headwinds for this specific topic. The third point is usually GEMS was roughly in line with the growth of global internet, and here we saw that even for global internet players, we've had more negative impacts in GEMS than compared to the other segments. So if you take the overall growth of global internet is 15%, while you see the growth that we have in GEMS.
Maybe to put it in perspective,
Just
to put it in perspective, Oscar, as you said, clearly GEMS was the growth engine for our business in the last years with like-for-like growth rates north of 30%. And yes, as Othman explained, we see definitely in that area for us with our exposure and portfolio a slowdown, and that's sort of some of the challenges, FX, clients, onshore versus offshore, in particular in this global English Middle Eastern segment. So that's definitely one of the biggest shifts we probably see if we look at the development of our different segments. Luckily, I would say, if I look at H1, it has been partially compensated that EASA, now our European business with Africa and South America, was able to compensate for this to some extent, giving the strong growth also with regional clients in that area. But this is the key challenge also for the second half of the year, definitely. And to your second question, AI, what we have created is, we call this Majorel AI Alliance. It's a multidisciplinary task force that try to coordinate and bundles our different activities in that field. And we feel, like many new technological developments, that there's not one size or one key fits all. So we have many different conversations with clients, many different pilots and solution in place. You might have seen in our interim report where we highlight, for instance, Maya Cognitive. This is a AI solution primarily focused on the Spanish-speaking markets. We have launched a whole new suite of conversational AI solutions with Majorel X, covering in particular the Middle East, Europe, and Latin America. And so that's why we try to bring our strength into play, that we are talking with clients on various fronts. It's not always, let's say, ChatGPT, but conversational AI solutions, voice of customer solution, consulting support, transformation support, to addressing the different needs and trying to build a more cohesive approach across our different activities in the group. But there, again, I would say it's just the beginning. It's also, this landscape is quite evolving after all the hype to really see what does this now mean for our business. And there, again, we try to be a good partner to our clients.
Okay.
Sorry,
I don't know if you were finishing, Thomas.
No, please go ahead.
I was going to ask just a follow-up on the first question on GEMS. That was useful color. Could you just say is the weakness driven by trust and safety, or is it driven by the core business, kind of the core CX business?
If you look, I think if we go back to the chart, Michelle, on content services, trust and safety on the KPIs, you see that our relative share for content services has increased. So there you see always relative to our overall growth an increase of the exposure, so stronger growth, and that our overall share with our global internet client is the same. So if you then factor in your analysis, as you were right, on a slowdown of the growth with GEMS, then you can see it's more focused, the slowdown of our global internet client in the English-speaking segment, and they are more on the, let's say, non-content services, trust and safety area.
Great. That was very useful, Thomas. Thank you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to ask a question, please press 9 followed by the star key on your telephone. So the next question comes from Nicole Mannion, UBS.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. Just one on the offshore mix. That looks kind of flattish-ish year over year. Maybe would have expected that to pick up a little bit more given what peers are reporting. So if you could just touch on maybe some of the reasons for that and what demand you're seeing, that would be helpful. And then the second question, I think you've touched on this already, but the slowdown that you've seen means that you still outperform most of your peers, and I think the guidance suggests that that will sort of continue. Is that mainly down to the geographic mix, i.e. less US exposure, or is there anything else you could pick up on there as well, or things that you think you're doing better kind of execution-wise? Thank you.
Is Nicole, you want to start?
Yes, absolutely. So, Nicole, on the offshore mix, we are happy to see that on the first half, we've had some very good developments on domestic customers onshore. So it's more the sustained growth that we've had, and to be honest, in some areas it offset the slowdown we've seen with the global internet players, and the fact that we sustained a pretty healthy growth on the domestic customers in some onshore countries allowed us to keep the growth of Majorel at a satisfying level for this first half, and therefore has an impact on the offshore mix.
And on Outlook, look, as we said, it's hard work every day. We try our best to develop this. Definitely, we are now in a different environment in the industry as a whole as last year. And as we have tried the last 6 months to deliver against our guidance and outlook, we will continue to do this in the next months. Obviously, Q3 and Q4, as you know, is decisive. In particular, Q4 is the strongest quarter typically. So that's why, as we said earlier, we're really looking forward on the one hand that the tender process ends and that we can sort of are getting there to the end of this process and then do our best for our clients and with all our team members, in particular for the final sprint at the end of the year.
Okay, thanks. Maybe just, a quick follow-up on that. In particular, the US clients and the internet clients, appreciate, as you say, that feels like quite unpredictable and fast-moving. Is there any sense that gets worse before it gets better? Or what's your kind of current outlook on how that's sort of tracking?
I hope you would have some answers. It's hard to predict, as you said. We see positive and negative. It's really hard to predict. I think we really try our best, keep our heads down on execution, because that's what matters, that we do a good job every day, and then the results will follow. It's really hard to predict. I mean, it's like, I think you're asking more macro question. I think for us, it's being focused on the business day by day and trying to do our best to continue delivering. As simple as that. I mean, sorry, can I give you more details? But it really boils down now. Getting through, and yes, in some areas we see we hopefully has reached a certain level, in some areas not. It really remains to be seen now how the next month will pan out, really.
Yeah, no, step by step.
No, I think our approach step by step, day by day, I think is at least what proves us pointing in the right direction so far.
Very clear. Thank you.
There was one more question. Michelle?
Yeah, there is one more question. Once again, a reminder, if you want to state a question, please press 9 followed by star key on your telephone. So the next question comes from Nicolas Tabor, Moneta.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for taking away my questions. Can you hear me well?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Great, thank you very much. So firstly, I just wanted to try and understand what the visibility you have now, just not until Q4, but also next year. I mean, where are you in terms of taking orders? Are you taking orders for still this year, or are you looking at 2024 now in your discussions with your clients? And how is that going for global internet clients and for the other clients? I mean, how are the discussions? Is there a dichotomy between different types of clients? And then the second question I would like to ask is regarding the margin evolution. So you very well flagged and explained the different challenges going back to the office, wage inflations and so on. Just trying to understand where is the low point we should expect to reach. So, I mean, James margin's been doing correctly, but ESL had some pressure. Is it expected to continue here? I mean, what's the moving parts and when can we expect stabilization? Thank you very much.
Maybe I start and then hand over to Otman. So starting with your second question, when we were in the midst of COVID, we said we had an expectation that work from home will stabilize between 30 and 50%. I think we are right in the middle of it. It has come or slowed down this movement back to office. And I think there we are, in a way, a certain reflection of society on the different countries, that people that have started to work from home see the benefits. Some employed a more hybrid work model, and some are essentially 100% back to site. I would do expect that hopefully by the end of the year we see some further stabilization and then can provide a better outlook. With regard to the outlook for next year, we're just in the process, obviously, of our budget process bottom up. So there's really too early to have indication how this will look. In a way, and that's what you hinted to, having a broad portfolio, being able to cover many verticals, and having a truly global presence is the best risk mitigation that you have. Because as you see in, let's say, the overall environment, certain industries are flourishing where other industries have challenges. Some industries are pushing more for outsourcing, some remain in wait and see. And having a broad portfolio, Otman said it earlier, that allows us to hedge certain risks, to cover certain movements. If we see a strong development with our continental European clients, we see a further decline with telco, we have some different development in the Middle East versus North America, is key, you know, I think, to be also resilient in these times of change.
And maybe over the global clients? What's the trend here? I mean, do you see, I mean, that's just the start of the slowdown for you, and we should expect like a 12-month comp base to be left before we can come back to, let's say, a cleaner base. And are they giving you any indication on when they think that their economic cycle will, let's say, be more stable? Is it just like one round, 1 year of economies for them, and you're part of the process, or have them maybe no visibility? I don't know.
That's fascinating to see, because obviously we are a B2B service provider catering to the needs of a broad portfolio also of different global high-tech clients. And there, as we always said, we're covering high-tech clients in the Americas, in Europe and Asia, across many different verticals, from e-commerce to social media, from ride-sharing to streaming platform, from software companies. So it's really this broad portfolio, and the discussions we're having with each one of them is very different. We have clients that we recently won, actually last year, that see explosive growth, where we're adding and trying to build a global expansion, whereas others having difficulties. No, and exactly this discussion, being close to them, trying to cover them, is something that will determine how successful we are in the next 12 months. What the visibility we have today is that the next month will be more challenging. That's why we also indicated that we expect to be not in the upper half of the net revenue guidance. But being also with clients, if I look back, experience tells, in these difficult times, it's the best fundament to also be at their side when times are better.
Great. Maybe one last one, which is not forward-looking, but how have you seen your market share evolve in trust and safety services? I mean, there's been a lot of moving parts. Clients have changed their way of thinking about it, maybe, and their costs and so on. How have you seen that evolve for you up until now, so not forward-looking?
So we always said trust and safety is a core part of our business. We always believe we do an incredible, important job for our clients and society. I think being true to our promises, working hard with our clients, as I said, through difficult times and good times is key. And for us, this remains a part of a business where we really are, let's say, positive, no, on all the opportunities we see in that area.
Great. Thank you very much for all your answers.
So thank you very much. There are no more questions. Back to you, Michelle.
Yes, thank you very much, Marek. So with that, I would like to thank you on behalf of the team here for your attention. And in case of any follow-up questions, please don't hesitate to follow up with us. Thank you and have a nice afternoon. Bye, everyone.